Hey, good morning, my friends. All right, let's see now. Senior Moments with Joe, but we need to keep in our thoughts and prayers what Carolyn and Jim Polly, they're in the Santa Rosa area, dealing with some issues there. Yeah, they're right there right now. Been cold. God is so good and gracious that would allow us to hang out together for a few moments. And you wonder what God has in mind. God is, again, so gracious, so good and kind. Well, I assure you, I have something to offend everyone here this morning. Let's open in prayer. Father God, again, we thank you for your grace and your love. How could we ask for anything more? That which we don't deserve and a love that is beyond our comprehension. And that's what you offer each and every one of us in a personal relationship with you. Justified, being sanctified, being changed by you. And then when you see us as glorified. Lord, I thank you that this is not all there is. And that truly the best is yet to come. Truly, eye is not seen, ear is not heard, nor is it entered into the mind of man that which you have. And I just so rejoice. So we bow our hearts before you. We pray that you will be the real teacher. Again, to your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in a study of the book of Philippians. Paul's first letter in the prison epistles. We are in page 2 of a 4-page letter. A 4-page letter full of joy and rejoicing. Joy and rejoicing. And so I can do this, I better put my glasses on, all right? I used to wear glasses just to intimidate my staff, all right? You know, kind of drop them down here like that and leer at them, you know, that kind of thing. That's a terrible thought. But it worked, all right? Little short guy with a Napoleonic attitude, you know, terrible. Now I wear glasses because I absolutely need it. That's another story, but we better not go there. Would you listen with your hearts as I kind of catch up with a little bit of Philippians, you know? I'm going to read just fast enough so Jim can't keep up with his electronic media, all right? He's smiling over there. With that in mind, Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 14, where Paul would say to the Philippians, and probably Lee Benson too, do all things without complaining and disputing. Ooh, that's kind of like sticking the knife in and twisting it. That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. In verse 17, yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Verse 18, for the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. He continues here. I want to have this whole thought before we kind of review it. Verse 19, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. In verse 24, but I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. He continues, yet I consider it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier, but your messenger, and the one who ministered to my need. since he was longing for all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem. Verse 30, because for the work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service towards me. Lots of scripture there we will complete chapter 2 in Philippians today. But I wanted to just do a quick overview. And before we flee from this portion, we'll catch with later that to speak more of the ministry of Epaphroditus, as Paul would say, my brother, my fellow worker, a fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need. Epaphroditus is one awesome individual, all right? Now, God has done that work in him to accomplish that. And we'll deal with him in a bit, all right? Now, in our last study, we had an exhortation from Paul, all right? And everyone's getting real grim here for a minute, okay? Now, I do a post-study review. Didn't know that. I didn't know it either, but it sounded good in my notes, okay? It was suggested that a rubber band be employed on our wrist to snap ourselves when we find ourselves complaining and disputing. You hear that, Lee? All right. Now, do you think that I would have brought a rubber band to the study today to put on your wrist? I should have. Threats are wonderful, aren't they? Huh? And if a rubber band would do it, we'd buy cases of them. All right. Might work for a bit. One little lady told me that it must have been a women's retreat or something like that. They did the rubber band thing, and she said she should have seen all the sore wrists, you know, that kind of thing. You know, all right. It might work for a bit. And to be honest with you, love to feed the flesh, and I'm playing with this just a little bit. Look at this. I've got my rubber band. I've been evil. I'll snap myself. It's kind of like purgatory on the wrist, you know? And we do. We love. Look at that. I've satisfied that. I've said, we get a whole bunch of them, Jeff, you know, these rubber bands. But the fact is, we truly need the Spirit of God way more than a rubber band on a wrist. Now, Jan might do well with a rubber band on a wrist, all right? But I'll tell him later because he, you know, I don't want to mess with him. Well, I do want to mess with him, but not too much. Now, we need to have skin inch and a half thick, Charles. But so much more, we need to have the Spirit of God without measure. Because it's not enough to be way good. You know, I know some folks out there that have no relationship with Christ. I do. I know some like that, and each of us do. And quite frankly, we know people like that. They're not even bad people in the eyes of the world. In fact, truth be known, they put some of us to shame. But you see, that's not enough. That's not enough. Spirit of God. What? Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Let not the mighty man glory in his strength. It kind of goes on as the prophet Jeremiah, let him that glorieth in this, that he knows and understands me. In the gospel, it tells us that Jesus left that he might send the comforter and that he would, what? Teach us in all things and bring us remembrance of whatsoever things he has said. The seal of God's Spirit is upon a believer. He's put his seal on us. And we need his Spirit without measure. The rubber band thing is kind of a cool thing to harass Lee and Jan when I can get away with it. However, the Spirit of God is what we need without measure. without measure. Maybe a little sidebar issue. This is not my notes, but I grew up in a fellowship that the only time I heard about the Holy Spirit was really during communion, because that was kind of the liturgy, all right? And as far as the gifts of the Spirit, that was pretty much of the devil. And that's the way I was raised. Every service was evangelistic service, you know? And you could come to Jesus 52 weeks a year. Now, well, you could come to Jesus anytime, but that's the way it was, all right? Now, that was formidable in my growing up years, no question about it, as a teenager and such. But the reality that God would fill us to overflowing with His Spirit, certainly those gifts are for today also, and I know some teach otherwise. I love them dearly. All right? They're wrong. However, I love them dearly. And one thing I know with the infilling of God's Spirit, that He will give you a love such as we never had before for the brethren. Now, let's face it. We need that love for some of the brethren we hang out with, right? Isn't that right, Lee? Yeah, Matt's raising his hand. Okay. Boy, I got sidetracked. That happened once before. Again from Paul, verses 14. Huh?
About once a week.
Yeah, at least we have consistency. With that in mind, verse 14 again, do all things, Lee, without complaining and disputing. Thank you for allowing me to pick on you. I appreciate it. You know, that kind of thing. Yeah, okay. That you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. It's interesting to notice, as you examine this passage, commentators will argue concerning you know, what's the dispute here? What's the dispute? Is it the complaining and disputing among the Philippians? Or is it, you know, body to body, you know, that, you know, we're complaining amongst each other? Or are they complaining to God? Because you can move in that direction too. Neither ain't any too good. So commentators, theologians will argue about that. The net of this is that we need to keep our hearts. You don't want to be complaining and disputing and arguing and making trouble, all right, and not allowing God to do the work with your brother or sister. You don't want to be caught up in that. It's better for you to step away and let God do the work. And He will. Will He let you do the work? Yeah, but it won't be very pretty, all right? Won't be very pretty. So there's that one-on-one, and then there's the thing with God. Now God, you know, Jim is going through prayer in a wonderful way, and God wants us to be honest, not some sort of jive trip, all right? I got a dear friend, when he'd pray, his language would change to like some ancient English or what have you. And I knew where he was going, I just, all right? You need to do that, all right? God wants us to be honest, to keep our own hearts, walking in the Spirit of God. I know that sounds churchy, but God calls us to walk in His Spirit, not to be driven by the flesh, not to be driven by the anxiousness, not to be driven by the circumstance, but truly to be led by the Spirit. My burden is light, my yoke is easy. Come what? Learn of me. See, as we know more and more of our Jesus, our Savior, as we more and more realize, I will never leave you or forsake you, more and more we realize, you know what? I would give you a peace that the world does not understand. They will look at you and say, what is the matter of you? Why are you not falling apart? I am falling apart. No, you are not falling apart as much as you need to be falling apart. You obviously do not realize how bad things are. They don't realize how good God is. Glory. Right. Right. Walking in the Spirit of God. The garments of complaining and disputing do not wear well. They do not well. It's our Christian walk. We so need to put our burdens ever so quickly at the foot of the cross. And you know what? That's probably multiple times during the day. No, that is multiple times during the day. Put our burdens at the foot of the cross because we are adept at picking them up, taking them back. There's not a one of us that are not going through challenges because we are older than 12, all right? Maybe 10, all right? Every one of us have challenges. Every one of us need to put those burdens at the foot of the cross. And try not, Steve, to pick them up any too much, right, as we go out the door. Okay. Steve's far enough I can pick on him. He can't get to me too quick. Yeah, go ahead, Lee.
I had a burden once.
You had a burden? Yeah? Yeah? You had a burden once? Yeah, we'll deal with you after the service. Okay, with that in mind, back to Paul. Back to Paul. Verses 17 and 18 where he says, yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Now, what's going down here? He's being poured out as a drink offering. Now, that's not very common to you. Well, you know, I don't know if you watch football. You know, at the end of the game, they win. They take the Gatorade and they throw it over the coach or what have you. That's not quite the same thing, all right? In the days of Paul, a drink offering would be wine, a libation, or perfume being poured out either on or next to a sacrifice. Very common to the pagans of the day.
No,
apparently no scotch, all right? Or bourbon, depending on North America, England, what have you. We better not go there. With that in mind, that offering was being poured out, all right? And no, you didn't pick up the ground and squeeze it, all right? It was gone, okay? It was being poured out. And it's interesting in the grammar that we look here in the Greek. You know, now, we got an inference early on that, well, maybe Paul figures he's getting out. You know, he's going to escape execution. Now, all of a sudden, in that grammar, it says, you know what? This could happen real quick. I could become room temperature very quickly with Nero, all right? You know, he can take him out, you know? Take him out. He says, on the sacrifice and service of your faith, that sacrifice, Glusak sees the verse, a sacrifice, a priest, an accompanying libation that would make it even more precious in the eyes of God. The service that is going down, the sacrifice which is going down, Paul says, rejoice with me. Even if I become a martyr, rejoice with me. Don't be lower than a slug, all right? Rejoice with me. It's all right. That is a priestly sacrifice being poured out. Bottom line, Paul's life was going to be a sacrifice. If he died, obviously, but even if he lived, he would say in Romans, what? That he would what? Be a living sacrifice. I got to tell you, that may be a whole lot harder, that living sacrifice, than just have someone come over there and snuff you out. A living sacrifice, day by day. But what about this, Lord, this circumstance here? You are a living sacrifice. What about this burden here? You are a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is what? He says your reasonable service. It's reasonable. a living sacrifice. With that in mind, Paul now turns to others in the ministry, specifically Timothy and Epaphroditus, in verse 19 through 22. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. In other words, it's about a month for him to get there, at least 3 weeks, month or so to get to Philippi. All right, so I got to send him there quick. I don't know what Nero's going to do, because I want to know how you're doing. It says, speaking of Timothy, for I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, speaking of Timothy again, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. So there, he's given accolades to Timothy big time. He says, but I trust in the Lord. This is the way of Paul and the way our lives need to be. He speaks of Timothy because he being so good, and he wanted the best for the Philippians, his son in the faith, he will speak to. He wanted the very best because he knew man and all of us. This is not our first rodeo. We've been around here long enough. I think the first time I ever heard this, I heard it from Lee. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt and sent it back. All right? I've used that for years. I finally give Lee credit for that. Okay. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt and sent it back. It's not the first. And we know the regularity says that the people seek after their own. They will, it's me, myself, and I seek after their own. Timothy had the heart of a pastor. And you will see this in a pastor, a true servant of God. That's what a pastor is. A minister is a servant. A servant. When he is becoming much more than that, then you got to step back a wee little bit. All right? When he's kind of more and more untouchable, you got to step back a wee little bit. We don't want to be untouchable. We want to be real. But as a pastor, you are a servant, a servant. And he knew that Timothy had that servant. But more in verses 23 to 24. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, speaking of Timothy, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Paul is hoping, trusting that he can be with the fellowship. That's just bottom line. He knows that Nero can take him out, but he's hoping. Continuing, verse 25 through 26. Yet I consider it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, my fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed, and was distressed because you heard that he was sick. The words, because you heard that he was sick. Paul is painting an image because he has a fellowship that was worried about their brother. He goes on, for indeed he was sick. And it goes on almost unto death. But God had mercy on him. That's good. But Paul says, but God also had mercy on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. A sickness that Epaphroditus had was no small thing. Got a little bit of a flu bug, all right? Got to get a little bit of rest, get healed up. No, this was way bad, way bad, way bad. The Philippian, well put, the Philippian crud, all right? Let me write that one down. We have to use that. Okay. All right. Now, did you run that by Diane? I mean, I want to have this, medically astute. No, then we're going to question everything Lee says. With that in mind, good plan. Yet God had mercy on him and he recovered. Isn't it interesting? Here we have the apostle to the Gentiles. He should be able to wave a hand across there and be healed in the name of Jesus. And you can bet your sweet life that he prayed for Epaphroditus. You can see that instant healing. In fact, he goes on to say, look at this. God had mercy on me that Epaphroditus did not die, because it was sorrow upon sorrow. What kind of faith is that? I'm just playing with his bit. He has wonderful faith, but there are those that would teach some weird stuff on faith. Boy, where was his faith? You know? Should be a wave of hand, you know, that kind of thing. Fact is, in God's grace and God's glory, he absolutely heals. He absolutely heals. We pray that he heals the heart first and saves the soul. You know, when we pray, and Kathy's there and Jeff's there, and Charles and Marquita, others of you have been a part of that from time to time. We pray at the care home. We pray for those folks. But we pray for the souls. We want to see them saved to the uttermost. I know Jeff down there in the psych ward, he touches people and many of them, you know, in our eyes, they have absolutely lost it. And yet you have seen clarity where the Spirit of God has surfaced in that direction, because God is reaching their souls. And that's what we want to have. Here Paul prays for the healing of Epaphroditus, and he doesn't see apparently that instant thing, or we'd have seen this here. We realize that he was, what, sick almost to death. And what's implied there, it went on and on and on, and it was looking bad. All right? Well, and that flowed, and God would have that too. Jeff talks about giving dignity to those that you were a part of. All right? Absolutely. With that in mind, verses 28 through 30. Therefore, I sent him, he's talking about Epaphroditus then, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem. Because for the work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service towards me. Is it interesting enough? Now, we believe that Epaphroditus was at least, may very much been the pastor of that Philippian fellowship at Philippi. At least he was in some leadership role. He can't be adamant, other than I believe that certainly they trusted him with certain resources. He was in some sort of leadership role. And what Paul is implying here is, you know, you give him credit. You bless him because he worked hard. He worked hard What should grab us in the scripture is that he didn't even regard his own life as him being important. He was caught up in the work of Christ, bottom line. To this brother, it was more important than his health and well-being. He was caught up in the work of Christ. You know what? I get a headache. I'm done. I got to call Jeff to minister on a Sunday afternoon. I'm done, you know? I'm done. Well, I know. Yeah, he gets mad if I really get sick on him. So we keep a low profile. But the net is, not regarding the work of Christ. And you know, I'm humbled when I look at this. I'm humbled. Yeah, and we keep referring to Sunday afternoon or what have you, and there's no question about that. That has become important in our life for 6, 7 plus years or what have you. And, Linda, many of us here, virtually every person here, all right, you've been there a time or two, you know, that kind of thing. And it's just absolutely life. But, you know, there are times, Jeff, on a Sunday afternoon, well, you know what, I could stay home and take a nap and that kind of thing. And I just know the conversation that comes to my heart. Can't spend 45 minutes with those folks. Okay, Lord, I'll be there. Fact is, we are poor servants at best. Poor, look at, like, you know what? Virtually all of our homes were warm when we got up this morning, even though it was 29 degrees at my house, all right, which is cold for this old San Diego boy. Our houses were warm. The refrigerators are full, maybe too full. I'm becoming a short, fat little square guy, all right? Fact is, provision upon provision. And I got to tell you, okay, most of you are part of this fellowship. God has provided for our fellowship. Just got out of a board meeting yesterday. And that provision allows us not just to keep and keep and keep, but to give and give and give. There are things that are happening in our radio ministry that are touching around the nation. There are just beautiful things. There are fellowships, there are wonderful fellowships that will, I believe, start being a part of our radio ministry. And they've never had a radio ministry. All right. But Bobby Lucas spending time teaching them how to make that happen for them. Lots of really, really good things. Good things. Okay, I don't need to give a report on the board meeting. Yeah. God is good. God is good. Now, let's talk about the work of Christ. This is a very interesting Greek word, and I need to bring these theological things up so you think that I've actually looked at something, all right? But stay with me, Lee, all right? The ancient Greek phrase, not regarding his life, was used as a gambler's word that meant to risk everything on the roll of a dice, the dice. To not regard his life was an ancient Greek word that meant, hey, it's all on this one. It's all on this one. All on this one. Pastor Gluzek, he said, in the days of the early church, there was an association of men and women who called themselves the gamblers. Taken from this word, this same ancient Greek word used not regarding their life. It was their aim to visit the prisoners and the sick, especially those who were ill with dangerous and infectious diseases. Often when a plague struck a city, the heathen threw the dead bodies into the streets and fled in terror. But the gamblers buried the dead and helped the sick the best they could, and so risked their lives to show the love of Jesus. Wow. Not heard that before, and I wanted to share that with you. To risk our lives to show the love of Jesus. Epaphroditus was like that, and we should be humbled at that witness there. Lee, you had a question.
No, I have a statement.
Statement? Well, in that case, you are in deep trouble. Lee has a statement, all right.
That's like Jesus said, someone who gives his life for his friend has a special place in heaven.
Yeah, the issue of gambling at all. Oh, well, what was it? There's a time in the ministry of Jesus when many of the disciples have left because they have a hard time. You know, he's talking about, hey, if you don't eat my flesh and drink of my blood, there are no way that you're going to be a part of this. And that just blew them away. And a whole bunch of them got out of Dodge. They weren't going to deal with that. And he looked at the disciples, you guys going to leave too? You going to leave too? Peter's response, where would we go? Where would you go? When I pondered the thought of not having a walk with the Lord or not having a relationship with the Lord, well, I probably wouldn't even be alive today. All right? I've been rolled up in some log in a logging setting. All right? Flattened, a little short, about the size of a stump. Huh?
Even if you think you have left, if you answer him, yes, I'm going to leave too, where are you going to go?
There's no place to go. Here's the deal. Almost done here. Short preacher, short message. Gone way too long already. We should be humbled by those that have gone on before us. Ran across this story of a very early Christian, Eusebius. When the Emperor Valens threatened Eusebius with confiscation of all his goods, torture, banishment, or even death, that should be enough all by itself. It's kind of like the IRS coming to visit you, right? Huh? Anyway, worse. The courageous Christian replied, "He needs not fear confiscation who has nothing to lose, nor banishment to whom heaven is his country, nor torments when his body can be destroyed at one blow, nor death, which is the only way to set him at liberty from sin and sorrow." No reason. Paul, who writes this letter under the inspiration of God's Spirit, with joy and rejoicing, should have been overwhelmed with his circumstances.